And we dedicate children recognizing, again, our need for God over all of the areas of our lives, but especially our family life, especially as parents bringing children up. Psalm 127:1 says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." So again, we believe this is important. The actions of the parents are important in raising children. And we have a responsibility as followers of Christ to raise children in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. But the great news is that we don't have to do it on our own. God gives us the strength. He shows us in his word how to do that. And he also gives us strength to be able to do that. And as parents, especially when children are young, it's great to have extra strength, right? To rely on the Lord, especially through some sleepless nights. And to know the Lord is with us at all times. And I also want to say I love how Jesus always welcomed children. He always loved to be around them. So let's picture in our minds, as these children are dedicated, that it's Jesus who is blessing and keeping them. Okay? And to the parents, I'll invite you up just to the front now, if you want to come and stay on the front pews. But to the parents, as Christian parents, by dedicating your child to the Lord, you are acknowledging your need for God and his word in your family. You're inviting Jesus to be an active part of your family's life, and you're submitting to your own desires for your children to God's desires for them, and making a commitment to raise your children God's way. And the responsibilities of the Lord has entrusted you as parents, include praying for your children, instructing them in the way of the Lord, setting a godly example, and disciplining them as the Lord would discipline us. And as parents, you're only, again, able to do this through the strength that God gives us. Our reflection, our relationship with Christ is a reflection of our relationship with our children. And that's a wonderful thing. It's amazing to know, the moment they are born, how much our hearts are connected to them and how much we love them. I remember the first times Danielle, holding all of our children and just saying, "Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing it is." And that's how God loves us. And we get to love as an expression, our children as an expression of what God, how God loves us. And that's awesome. So I know churches do this differently. And last time we had a dedication, I more or less prayed. But this morning I would like to just ask some questions. So at this time, we're going to have the Cook family, Ford and Jessica. And if you just want to come on up. And just stand there. There we go. Yeah, we'll stay down here. Isn't he looking handsome today? That's right. Well, I just wanted to ask you questions, and you can answer. We do. There's four questions. The first one, as you bring your child for dedication to the Lord, do you confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord, believing that he is God's gift to you and that God has entrusted this child to your loving care? Do you promise today, with God's help, to bring up this child in the training and instruction of the Lord and to provide a Christian home for your child? And do you today ask for God's blessing upon your child's life, asking him to guide, guard, and direct your child through all of his years? Amen. Let's pray together with them. Hello, Dodger. Lord, we just thank you for the precious gift of Dodger William Cook, this beautiful child that we dedicate to you today. And Lord, we thank you that children are a gift every child is a gift that comes from you, that he is. And we rejoice for this life and for this child. Lord, thank you for blessing the Cook family with such a precious gift. I pray that you surround Dodger with good things so that he may grow in your will and your ways. And I pray for him that he will grow wholeheartedly to seek you. And Lord, we pray for Ford and Jess that you'd fill them with wisdom so that they may train Dodger in the way that he should go so that they, that even when he's older, that he won't depart from it. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. All right. And Jennifer and Junior, if you want to come up. Again, they're dedicating Judah Ray Gibson Bahia. What? Bahia. I was wondering how that was. Bahia. That's wonderful. And I know our son, our Liam, is Liam Judah. And I know Judah is a name of thanksgiving and praise. So it's a wonderful name. And but I'm going to ask you these questions as well. And if you want to answer, we do. So question number one, as you bring your child for dedication to the Lord, do you confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord, believing that he is God's gift to you and that God has entrusted him to your loving care? Do you promise today, with God's help, to bring him up in the training and instruction of the Lord and to provide a Christian home for him? And do you today ask for God's blessing upon your child's life, asking him to guide, guard, and direct your child through all of his years? Amen. Let's pray. Yeah, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for you. How's it going? Can you give me five? Fist pump? Fist pump? Maybe later. It's like everyone's watching. Why are you doing this? Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Judah. Lord, we pray blessing over him. And Lord, we thank you that he is a gift from you. Lord, we pray that you would give Junior and Jen the wisdom and strength to bring him up in training and in instruction from you, Lord. And we ask for your blessing upon Judah's life to guide him, to guard him, and direct him through all of his years. Lord, I pray that you would surround him as well with good things so that he may grow in your will and in your ways. Lord, I pray that he will grow wholeheartedly to seek you, and when he is older, that he will not depart from it. And we pray blessing over him now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are blessed. Well, this morning, before we get into the word that the Lord has put on my heart for this morning, I just wanted to say just a couple of things. One, I want to say a big happy birthday to Alicia Frey, wherever she is. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday. There she is. So we'll celebrate with a barbecue afterwards. How about that? You know, just this past year, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we were planning to be here for a few months, 3 months, and possibly take it month by month. And that's what Mark and Michelle, we had talked about when we first came here. And it was, it has been our true blessing, our family's blessing, and it has been an honor to be able to serve here in this congregation. And I just wanted to acknowledge that, and it was last June when we came here, and a couple months before, When we were still down in Texas, I was doing a lead pastoral internship through Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas, and Justin, Texas. And we had some Skype meetings, I guess, with Mark. We had some phone conversations, Mark and Michelle Kleinstuber. And I just wanted to say a big thank you to you for all that you both have done. Just the hand of the Lord that as you take leadership with this church, you know, what a blessing that you both are. And there's Michelle up there. We didn't know what we were getting into a year ago, but just thank you for your wisdom and direction and your for surrounding me this whole time. It has just been a blessing to serve here, and I just wanted to publicly say thank you. And Caroline and Ron are deacons now as well, and so serving since the new year. And I just wanted to say thank you to you all as well. I'm not sure where there you are. Yeah. It was through a snowstorm in Texas that we ended up at Stacy, Ron and Kathy Pegg's daughter's house in Texas. We ended up staying there for a couple days, and from there, it led to here, and we're just thankful for all the Lord has done. Before we go get into the word this morning, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God, that you love us, that you care about us, that you see every part of us, every part of our lives, Lord, the things that everyone sees and the hidden parts of the heart that no one else sees. You see every situation. And Lord, we just want to be people who allow you into every part of our lives. Lord, thank you that you have good plans for our lives and for this church. Thank you, Lord, that we can join together to lift your name high here at First Baptist Church here in Mount Forest. Lord, I pray your blessing on this church both today and forever. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven, in our lives, and here at First Baptist. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I have one of the boringest topics you could ever imagine. But I felt it was the right direction. Whew. The right direction for us to go this morning. When you think of a sports team, I've probably heard so many coaches, even in my life, say, stick to the what? The fundamentals. The fundamentals. Stick to the fundamentals. The fundamentals of a basketball game are so important to remember through every part of a game, right? And this morning, I wanted to share these seven things for you that we must all do to grow spiritually. And I literally have just condensed them. We're just going to touch on them. I figured, actually, we have a barbecue afterwards, so we can go all day, right? But I could probably preach a message on each one of these things. Thank you. And truly, if we do not take these steps, I really believe that it would, I want to say, possibly cause failure to us spiritually, to our spiritual growth. So I think every single one of these things are so important. And I wanted to, this morning, reflect on these things, on these seven things, so that we can just continue to walk out what God has called us to do in every area of our lives, in ministry, in this church, with the Lord's vision, what he has put in front of us. Now, the first one is probably the hardest that I find for most people. Why? Because we're human. And the first one is learn to forget. Step one in spiritual development is learning to forget the past. And this scripture that I want to read is the very first scripture that I preached on when I was here, my first sermon. And it's from Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, and this is the King James Version. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So to grow spiritually, this is Paul saying this. He says in these verses, he doesn't say that we've arrived. He actually says that we need to press in towards the mark, and that's what he was doing. And the person who thinks that they've arrived, who thinks they know it all, it actually stunts their growth. It stops them from growing spiritually. Why? Because nobody knows it all. Hey, if you know it all, come and tell me. But actually, the more that we grow in the Lord and learn about him, the more we realize how little we know. Anyone find that? The more you learn, the more you want to learn, and the more you realize you want to learn because you don't know. Does that make sense? You'll never be a successful Christian unless we learn to forget things, forget our past. I even heard a pastor that used to say, unless your forgetter is in good working order. And this same pastor used to say, forget even the blessings of God that are behind, because if you live on the past blessings, you are living on stale manna. If you're satisfied with what happened in the past, you're not reaching towards the future blessings God has in store for you. That's a strong statement. That can be hard to do, right? And there is another side to learning to forget that's very important, and we must learn to forget our past mistakes and our failures and our sins. And as long as Satan can keep those past failures in front of us, he holds us in a position where we won't develop spiritually, and where our prayers and our faith won't work. There won't be action behind it. So we need to learn to forget. Amen? When we don't forget, this is what we're doing. This perfect, perfect. We start out this way. We're trying to, live life unto God. We mess things up, don't we? On our own. We try to figure things out. Okay, if I can just get the red pieces together, then maybe life would be okay. But then we remember things of our past. It weighs us down. We turn it even more. We need to learn to give it to God. Amen? This takes us to step two, which is learning to forgive. Now, this is closely associated with forgetting the past, and if you want to grow spiritually, we need to learn to forgive. In Ephesians 4:32, in the King James Version, it says this, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Oh, isn't that such a good verse? It's easy to be kind to people who are kind to us, right? And it's easy to be tender-hearted to people who are tender-hearted to us. It's not so easy to be that kind of person to those who treat us badly or people we disagree with. But notice Paul says, be kind to one another, even as God forgave you. And that means for us as fellow believers as well. How did God say he forgives? In Isaiah 43:25, he says, I will blot out your transgressions and I will not remember your sins anymore. God forgives and he forgets. To forgive as God forgives means that we are not to remember any wrong a fellow Christian might have done to us. That can be difficult to do, but we need to strive for this. Now, I've had people say, yes, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me. But no matter what anyone has done to us, it will not come close to the debt that we owe to the Lord for forgiving us of our own sin and for saving us. Amen? Because at the end of the day, we're on the same team. And if we live our life this way, with a heart of forgiveness, forgiving and forgetting, it allows God to help move us forward, to grow spiritually, to walk in faith, believe for new things. Now, that doesn't mean we will not have confrontation. It doesn't mean to ignore confrontation. But it means when we have confrontation come up, that we walk in a heart of forgiveness, so our heart is not hardened toward the Lord. It might even mean, one disclaimer. This is not talking about any abusive situation where walls need to be put up and there needs to be separation, okay? I don't have time to go into all of that, but the point is we need to learn to forgive so that God can move us forward. How much more should we be willing to have pity on others, especially brothers and sisters in Christ? This takes us to step 3, which is learn to pray. Now, I might say I've been talking about all of these steps all year, which is why I wanted to leave with the fundamentals this morning. Learn to pray. We cannot grow spiritually and be successful in our Christian walk without developing a prayer life. And a successful prayer life must be built on the Word of God. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Now, Jesus did not say to ask God for everything you can think of. Asking what you will and having it done for you is conditional on the response of if you abide in me. To abide in Jesus means not only that we're born again, but we walk in continual fellowship with him. God gives us a heart for the things around us. And we reflect that heart and can walk out his will. And when we pray that way, we're praying in the will of God. And that's where great things can happen. Hallelujah. And again, this is all based on the Word of God. It's not just our own thoughts. What scriptures are we standing on? We'll only receive according to the Word of God and the will of God. So I encourage you, if you have a need, find scriptures that promise what you're praying about. And that allows us to have a solid foundation, a firm foundation. Allows Jesus to be in the middle of that. And the next step 4 is learn to believe. Learn to believe. Now, this is closely associated with learning to pray. You must also learn to believe God and his word. The prayer of faith doesn't The prayer of faith won't just work unless you believe. And how do you believe? It's simple. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, he said, "What things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." We often fail to receive what we've asked for because we walk by sight instead of by the faith of what God promises. And we say, when it comes to pass, when I can see, I see that I have it, then I'll believe it. But that's the Thomas kind of faith. Thomas said, "Except shall I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe." On the other hand, we can walk by the Abraham kind of faith. Remember Abraham? The Bible says in Romans 4:18-19 that Abraham, against hope, believed in hope according to that which was spoken. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Abraham considered not the natural circumstances. He believed that he, in what God had told him many years before that, that his wife would bear him a son. Believe that you receive when you have it. It's the most difficult thing in the world because we usually walk in the sense realm or human reasoning. And Jesus is the one who said these words, "What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them." Again, I didn't write this verse. I'm glad I didn't write this verse. I just believe it, though. So why add or take away from what the Word of God says? I think of Matthew chapter 8 also, verses 23 to 27, when Jesus was in the boat, how he calmed the storm. He spoke to the winds and the waves. He spoke to those waves and commanded them to stop. Through believing and walking in constant prayer, we'll learn to speak directly to the storms in our lives. And we'll learn to walk in the authority of Jesus against the things that the devil does try to steal, kill, and destroy. So let's choose to believe. Let's choose to surround each other and believe together. Encourage each other in the Word of God. Step 5 is learn to worship. Learn to worship. In John 4, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship in spirit, in truth, spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." That's awesome. That means that we don't have to be in a particular place to worship, does it? A lot of people might think, oh, we have to be in the church building to be able to worship God. That's where worship happens. But God doesn't dwell in buildings anymore. And under the old covenant, he used to dwell in the Holy of Holies in the temple. But under the new covenant, he dwells where? Inside of us. That's right, inside our hearts. I've said this before, but if for some reason this beautiful building happened to fall or burn down, we would still be able to have church next Sunday. Why? Because we are the church. You are the church. We can meet anywhere. Inside, outside, and God will be with us. God is Emmanuel, God with us, everywhere we are. Our bodies are not some brick and mortar building, have become the temple of the living God. So let's learn to worship the Lord with our spirit. Do you remember how I've been teaching on spirit, soul, and body? Maybe it was a while ago that I taught on that. Worship isn't just from our mind. It's not relegated to some psychological thing. The Lord has enabled us to worship him in spirit and in truth because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And thank you, Lord, for this awesome means of communicating to God, our Father. We get to pour out a heart of worship to God. So take time to worship. And the next step, step six, is learn to give. I would have loved to be able to spend more time on this year, but I wanted to include it this morning. Step six in spiritual development is to learn the secret of giving. Some people only give because they feel it's their duty or obligation, which in a way, of course, it is, because God has called us to do it. But because that's the only reason they give to the kingdom of God, they miss the blessing that giving can truly be in their lives. We need to learn to give to the Lord because you love him, because you worship him, because you adore him. And we need to add faith to our giving. We need to examine the motives for giving and keep our motives right. Sometimes we can do the right thing for the wrong reason, and it doesn't work that way. We're called to give God our tithes, not just because, but it's not just enough to give God our tithes. We need to give the Lord our hearts. If God gets our hearts, he gets our wallets as well, our tithe. He'll get our service. He'll get everything else there is to have if we give him our heart. Even the desire to share and lead others to Christ becomes natural out of giving God our hearts. Why? Because God wants us. He wants our hearts. He doesn't just want our finances. And that's why we give him our time, our talent, and our treasure. That's why we serve. It's so important to serve. Somehow, some way, we all have gifts. We might not even know where our gifts lie, but it's important to just say, hey, if I could pick one area to serve, this is where I'm going to serve. It's so important. Revelation 4:11 says this, "For thy pleasure, they are and were created." That's right, we are and were created for God's pleasure. Once we figure this out, it positions our hearts to give in a position of faith and in a position of giving and receiving, in a position of being blessed to be a blessing to others. And when we give in an offering, let's give our heart of praise and worship because we love God, again, out of the overflow of our hearts, because we know that our money will be used to fulfill the Lord's purpose on earth through this church. Amen? And other ministries. Why? Because God can do more through our 10% than we could ever do with our 100%. Last but not least is step seven, which is learn to witness. I've touched on this already, but this is important. Jesus stated that believers were to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that they could become witnesses for him. Again, that was one of the purposes for the endowment of power from on high. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." I'm thoroughly convinced that the greatest witness you can be to the world is to live a life that's sold out to the Lord. Amen? It's like the old proverb says, what you are speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. Have you ever heard that? We're a reflection of Jesus everywhere we go. And that doesn't have to be scary. It actually becomes enjoyable. It's awesome to think that Jesus is with us, that he could even guide our steps to cross the paths of people who need it in our daily life. Whether it's a smile or an encouragement or a word or giving, we get to be the light of the world. God does this with us. And that's exciting to be a part of. If people can see that we have something real, they will want it. Amen? It becomes a natural thing. We don't have to force ourselves to do it. Because as we get to know our Lord, the Lord will bring people on our minds to pray for, on our hearts to pray for. And every day we get to become, we get to live our life as a reflection of Jesus. So let's learn to witness as the Holy Spirit leads. I had written down, be a supermodel of Christ. I guess you could be a supermodel for Christ as well, but that's a whole other thing. Well, these are the seven fundamental principles for spiritual growth that we need to apply. And I want to encourage you, don't get frustrated because you're not growing fast enough or this or that. We are all saved by grace, right? By grace through faith. And as we learn to forget, to forgive, to pray, to believe, to worship, to give, and to witness, we'll grow spiritually. It'll all happen naturally, and the fruit of the Spirit will flow through us more and more. Amen. Again, when I try to figure this out on my own, this is what happens. This is the 3x3. This is a little more complicated than the 2x2. But how many times have we said, oh, I'm going to do this, and we get out of the Lord's will, or we do something we don't forgive, or we try to do it on our own. And we try to solve the things in our life on our own. And I have to come to a point where I admit that I can't do it. It just gets more complicated. Anyone try to live life this way? Josiah, come on up here. There's so many decisions in life we need to make, right? What do we do next? Thank you, Lord, that His word is a light unto our path. And when we give Him these things, the complications, when we truly admit to Him, say, Lord, I struggle with unforgiveness, or I struggle with this area of my life. This is what allows the Lord to work freedom in His life. And you know what happens? He's representing God right now. He makes it perfect again. He changes our heart. He helps us make decisions. Whoa, that was way too easy. Okay, figure that one out. Okay, you try to mess this up. Try to mess this up for me. Mess it up real, real good. Because we're going to stump him, right? Do you know how to solve it?
No, but those like know how.
Okay. I'm just going to keep on messing it up. No pressure. Woohoo! Go for it. There we go. Thank you, Josiah. This is what the Lord does to us. The Lord knows the algorithms to our life. And that's awesome. When we walk with that through every change of life, the Lord walks with us. Change is hard. Rod, you mentioned this morning that it's bittersweet. We've been walking through bittersweetness, you know, just the past few weeks because we love you all and miss you all already before we're even gone. But we will miss you. And we just know that the Lord has placed us here. And we can't figure out the next steps. We haven't been trying to. We've just coming to the Lord constantly in prayer, saying, Lord, we give this to you. We are the hands and feet of Christ, but we're not going to try to make things happen without you. We want to be in step with you. So our heart and prayer for the church, for you this morning, is that all of you would continually grow spiritually, to grow in Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's not about us. Yes, God made us for relationship, and he wants us. He's given this, and that is awesome. And the great thing is that doesn't go away. The thing that's brought me comfort, even I was saying to the worship team on Wednesday, is that we, even though I'm moving, we get to do this again. Why? Because this is not our home. Heaven is our home. And as Christians, we get to spend eternity like this, right? Amen. And when we know that Jesus is everything to us. When we walk out these doors, it's all about him. It's all about him. And that is where we find our security this morning. When we don't know the next step, what do? We need to stick to the fundamentals. Because we get to wake up every morning and know the God, the creator of the universe, and he walks with us through every situation, every day. Amen? That is the greatest honor any of us could ever have. I am going to end. I want to end with a song. Do you guys mind? I wasn't sure if I was going to do this or not, but I think I would like to. This is a song called Worth It All. It's by Ben Cantillon. All I am, Lord, here before you, reaching out for more. You're the promise, never failing. You are my reward. You are my reward. And I let go of all I have just to have all of you, and no matter what the cost, I will follow you. And Jesus, everything I've lost, I have found in you. And when I finally reach the end, I'll say, you are worth it all. No riches
this earthly treasure I will satisfy, and every longing for you, Jesus, set this heart on fire. Set this heart on fire. And I let go of all I have just to have all of you. And no matter what the cost, I will follow you. Jesus, everything I've lost, I have found in you. And when I finally reach the end, I'll say, you are worth it all. You are worth it all. When I'm there in your glorious presence, every knee is bowed before you. Hear the sound of heaven singing, you are worth it all. All the saints cry, holy, holy. Angels singing, worthy, worthy. Forever I will shout your praises, you are worth it all. When I'm there in your glorious presence, and every knee is bowed before you. Hear the sound of heaven singing, you are worth it all. All the saints cry, holy, holy. Angels singing, worthy, worthy. Forever I will shout your praises, you are worth it all.
We give you all the praise and the glory. And this morning we say we love you, Lord. Thank you that you are faithful, that you will continue to lead us, guide us. Lord, I continue to speak every kind of blessing on this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.